Well, here we go. After a long absence, we are back, ladies and gentlemen. Turin Giants podcast with episode number 241. What's up, boys? I'm joined here by Zaki Stugatz and what's the up? Legendary Rav, the silky voiced Brit. What's up, guys? What's up, boys?
What's up? Hey,
guys. Hey, everybody.
It's been a while. We have a lot to talk about. We have a jam-packed show, boys. But before we get into it, let's take care of some business as always. On Twitter, ways to follow us at Juve Pod or X. Should I say X? Do people say X?
It's Twitter.
As soon as he took over, I just started hating Twitter. It's Twitter, right? At Juve Podcast, at Turin Giants. Also, Instagram at Turin Giants. I appreciate all the kind words. We've been absent for a couple of weeks. You know, international break is usually where we take a break as well. But we are back along with Alessandro Belpiero. If he agrees, if he disagrees, I don't control him. I don't know what's going on. So we got lots to talk about. Let me pull that up. Did I introduce myself? I'm Farhad. I'm the host that loves you most, boys and girls. I know you have a ton of entertainment choices when it comes to your Juve, but we truly deeply appreciate you spending an hour and change with us. And I promise you, we got a good one for you guys. Of course, we'll talk about the shocking win against Lazio yesterday. We will talk about the shocking loss. Somehow losing to Lazio in 2024 is as shocking as winning against them. So we'll talk about them. We'll discuss the international break. Zaki's got a few segments for you guys here. McKinney and Weah winning the CONCACAF Nations League. Like I said, we'll talk about Lazio League and the Copa, two games in a row. It's kind of weird to play against the same team, right? We'll discuss the rumor mill. We will talk about possible contract extensions. And since Rav here runs a pretty big website, footitalia.com, he will be our guy for the news roundup, as well as some of the stuff we need to discuss as far as, like I said, transfer rumors and contract extensions and stuff like that. And just like Zaki sent us a note, he said that arrivals, in parentheses, he wrote basically Bologna starting 11. anything you guys want to get into before we start? Rav, anything on the horizon for your website?
Nothing at the moment. Yeah, the day job has me pretty slant. Sorry, go ahead.
So we talked about on the last podcast how Rav is always looking for writers because apparently he's the only guy who runs this amazing website. I don't know how he fits in personal life and work and running the website, but apparently he does. And I posted a tweet saying that, you know, Rav is looking for writers and he's willing to pay $100,000 a year plus dental insurance. And people took it seriously. I seriously cannot with you people. Yeah. You got replies for that, right?
I got a couple of people who, bless them, were real keen to write, but they wanted to know about what the financial prospects were. So it was a little bit heartbreaking to tell them, yeah, I can't really pay anything at the moment, but if you want experience or exposure, I can offer you that. So.
Oh, my God. When I wrote that, I'm like, is $100,000 a ridiculous enough figure for people not to take it seriously? Apparently not. I don't know. I don't know how much money you people make at your jobs, but writing a couple of articles on a website does not pay $100,000 plus dental.
It's probably not. Exactly.
Man, people in Europe would be like, people all over the world, apparently, aside from the US, like dental, you have separate dental insurance? Yes, I do. Welcome to capitalism, boys and girls. Actually, I forgot to mention something that I've been sitting on, and it's again, we're going back to Reddit and the amazing people on there. So every episode I post a question on Reddit. By the way, if you're not on Reddit, what are you doing? It's awesome. It's a great community of Juve fans. And this time the question was, what is your favorite last minute goal that Juve scored? And boy, did we get amazing answers. I feel like Reddit has a future. I feel like Juve Reddit is giving us a lot of good stuff to talk about. It's they're happy to answer, and we are happy to include your answers, boys and girls. What do you say we do that first?
Yeah.
Sounds good to me. Mm-hmm.
And if you have potential topics or questions that you want to ask a large group of Juventini, I decided not to go with Twitter just because, like I mentioned, I'm kind of cold on Twitter recently. But it's always fun to find like a group chat to talk about, like a question that has a lot of potential answers. But anyways, let's get into it, shall we? First of all, Zaki, Rav, let's go around the room and name your favorite last minute goal for Juve.
Ooh, that's right off the bat, jumping right in.
All right. How about I give you guys some time to think about, and we mention a couple of them, and then we'll kind of go go up to the ones that were upvoted the most.
Yeah, let's do that.
Shall we?
That sounds good. Yeah.
So maybe some honorable mentions for now. Like I said, Reddit is a great community of fans. Thank you all. Some people included links to the goals, but there's one link we couldn't find with Rob and Zach. That's the one I really wanted to play on the podcast, but that's okay. That will be our last one. So let's get into it. I'm gonna have a hard time naming these people because the nicknames are so kooky, but we'll do our best. That's a good one. This one is a good one. Does a 82nd minute goal count? Well, in this case, it does, because Alessandro Del Piero scoring the goal against Lazio in 2011-2012 season from a free kick was insane. And I remember that goal because I missed it because I set the recorder to a wrong time. Clown makeup. But yeah, I mean, that I remember that, you know, it was important because it was basically the unbeaten season. And if we didn't score that goal, and the way it was scored was weird. Go back and watch that goal. You know, I can see it now. Pirlo arguing with the ref, and Del Piero just comes up to the ball and just, in a very un-Del Piero fashion, sends it in the back of the net. It's amazing. Douglas Costa versus Lokomotiv Moscow in the Champions League. I don't know if you guys remember that. That one stands out for me with the technique, with the insane pass from Higuain and Douglas Costa working his Joga Bonito magic and scoring a last minute goal against.
Yeah, I remember watching that one.
It was a great goal. What else do we have here? Man, these usernames are complicated. So here we go. 2018, Dybala versus Lazio, with him falling as he strikes. I still get goosebumps. I almost smashed my TV out of excitement. That's what the Stefan 233 says. That was a great one. The audacity as he's falling away. It's the goals of the Olimpico just hit different, I feel like.
Yeah, well, it's like he's falling away, he's bodying off Luis Alberto, and as he's falling away, he just like puts it, he like roofs it, and like there's no way for goalkeeper to get to it. It's a thing of beauty.
Those jerseys too. What's up, Rob? Sorry.
No, I was going to say there was when that game was being played. I remember that because we were in the title race with Napoli that season, and they had Sky Sport Italia, the famous Napoli journalist whose name I forget. He was outside the Napoli stadium with a load of Napoli supporters, and they were counting down because if we drew that game or if we lost it, then I think they were going to leapfrog us on the table, and they were celebrating because they thought it was full time. And then Dybala scores, and you just see all their faces like drop, and it's fantastic. I'm gonna have to dig it out and share it, but
last minute goals are so beautiful, aren't they? Like, especially like we're gonna go. Maybe I should have sorted these out by the importance, but you guys can do it on your own. So I don't want to take up too much of this time because this thread is big. And if you want to go check it out, I just type in Turin Giants on Reddit. Let's intrepid passerby he mentions that Pirlo's last-minute goal against Torino, of course, who can forget. He says it was raining. It was the last minute. It was incredible. Also, it was my first year watching Juve, and they seemed to be an incredible, undefeatable team. This goal, along with Olympiacos' free kick to win it, also Pirlo, really drove home that Juve meant to be for me. Beautiful story. And the one actually that started it, I just lost it. There it is. I saw this goal, and I kind of got the idea for this thread. Tudor against La Coruña.
Oh wow!
That was a throwback to the 90s. A lot of people blasted me for not mentioning Zaza goal against Napoli. I mean, that was a super important goal as well.
I remember that little deflection.
Yeah. That was probably the most important goal Zaza has ever scored for Juve.
I think it could demonstrably show that that's the truth.
100%.
Zaza is known for two things: his ridiculous run up to the penalty and his goal, right?
Exactly. I was going to say shout out to Marcello Zalietta because he scored the. Was it against Real? He scored the one to hold the blue.
Jackie Daytona 77. Tough to beat Zalietta versus Real, but awesome. Emerson versus Werder Bremen is up there. But I don't remember if it was a game winner or not. Bianconero in the US, he replies to that comment. It was thanks to that stupid goal, which the goalie made a disaster. We qualified to the Champions League quarterfinals, and then we lost to Arsenal. A lot of great memories that people bring up. I love posting these threats. Not threats. I don't post threats. Threads.
Give it
then we got not exactly last minute in an 85th minute, but for me, it's Nedved goal against Lazio in 2005. So beautiful. And then he mentions the goal against Lazio in 2018, which we just mentioned. Also, who can forget Giaccherini versus Catania on Conte's first Scudetto? That was a good one. That was, I think it was a pass from a quick lob from Pirlo. Man, there's so many to name.
I saw in the thread someone mentioned that the infamous wonder volley from over his shoulder strike from Del Piero into Juventus,
1897 mentions, I can't believe no one has said Del Piero goal that made him a legend. 20-year-old Del Piero, 87th minute winner versus Fiorentina. Wonder volley goal from 40 meter pass over his shoulder, volleyed on the first touch with the outside of his boot to the roof of the net to complete the comeback versus Fiorentina. This is one of those goals I always mention. Why I love football is there's goals that will never be repeated. And I feel like in the pantheon of thousands of goals that we've seen, this one will not be repeated, especially under the circumstance, you know, 87th minute. I know people are down with Juanito, but Cuadrado's last minute goal against Torino in 2015, it was maybe less dramatic than the Pirlo one, but it was also a huge mental icebreaker. It changed our season and we won 15 consecutive games afterwards. That's Bianconero in the US. But the granddaddy of them all, I don't know. I'm sorry, but my favorite goal. You guys know what I'm going to say, right?
Higuain. Oh, yeah.
It is Higuain's goal in that comeback win against Inter. Basically won us the Scudetto. And that's the one we tried to find the Arabic commentary, because there's a French commentary on that goal. There's Italian, there's English, but no one beats the Scudetto del Juve. Pipita. I mean, that was so legendary. I always tell the story about this goal is I'm visiting my parents in LA, and my dad instilled the love for the game with me to me. So it was really important. We don't live in the same city anymore, so watching games with my dad is really important, and it's an event. I went all day without checking social media. I wanted to watch the game at night. It was my niece's birthday or something like that, and I'm with my parents watching this game, and you know, the things are flying, and my mom is closing the windows because we're both screaming, and that goal comes, and it's just like the most guttural scream that I could express. It was, but you know, let's also mention the Cuadrado. It's, imagine being an Inter fan, and Cuadrado's goal comes out of nowhere, doesn't it? It's yeah. I still don't understand how it went in, right? And that draws us the game, and it's still not enough because we had to win the Scudetto with a win. And if I recall correctly, Inter, we also knocked them out of Europe because I remember posting a meme. But that was, if you guys give me a few minutes after the, you know, after we're done with this, I will share the audio from that goal. But the goal is also great because Dybala didn't play, and people were down on Allegri, surprise, surprise. And Dybala comes out, earns the foul, earns the free kick, takes the free kick. And, you know, Higuain, with a little nod, just silences the place and celebrates in front of the Juve fans as well. Yeah, good times. Juve has certainly scored some great last-minute goals.
Oh, yeah. And, like, for me, like, personally, like, I found that, like, obviously I didn't – I mean, I can enjoy them in hindsight, right, like, looking at some of these goals. But there were goals that, like, happened when I just wasn't aware of football like that. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, when it comes to goals that, like, I've watched – and like in real time and like celebrated and enjoyed, it's hard to top that one. That one was a, mm-hmm. yeah, like guttural scream, just primal celebration as to what I just witnessed.
The importance adds so much to it, right?
Oh yeah. 100%.
Yeah. That was fantastic.
I remember watching that game and we were a goal down, and I think it was the first time in a really long time, in like, I don't know, 15 years or something like that, that I thought, okay, we're probably going to lose this. I didn't have that kind of Fino alla fine attitude. I remember just feeling so disheartened. Yeah. And I was ready to turn the game off. I was like, I really vividly remember following the game on Twitter and just feeling like, yeah, this is it. They're probably going to go on, win the title. All good things come to an end. I'm really disappointed. And then the equalizer. Hang on a second. Turn the TV back on. Hang on a second. And then that goal goes in, and oh my God, it's one of those goals that it's really significant for us, but it was how it killed them. It was like literally sticking a dagger through their heart, like they're the vampire, the wolf, what, the werewolf or whatever, just destroyed them, killed all their hopes, sucked out all of their enthusiasm, everything. It was, yeah, amazing.
Well, that's what people fail to mention when they mention Higuain's tenure at Juve is he scored important goals. He scored against the biggest rivals. He scored, you know, there's goals against, you know, mid-table teams, but you could depend on him. And it's sad because when I was typing in a YouTube search, a Higuain goal, blah blah blah, the first thing that comes up is Higuain's miss versus Germany. It's a pretty bittersweet career when that's the first thing that people remember him by. And it's, of course, yeah, it's the Messi fanboys. I understand they have a huge beef with Higuain not bringing the World Cup win to Argentina in 2014. But us Juve fans will always appreciate Pipita for what he's done. Yeah, that goal, and he scored, you know, Juve did, you know, the whole oops, I did it again thing, because he scored a winning goal against Inter's again a couple of years later, but it wasn't as important. But that goal is everything. I'm sorry.
It's weird. I was going to say, it's weird that we're talking about it today, because today, 6 years ago today was when Ronaldo scored that overhead goal against us. Sir. And in like an alternate universe somewhere, like the multiverse, we don't sign Ronaldo. Higuain stays. And maybe maybe we win the Champions League or something like that. And he has another 20, 30 goal career. We don't like try and get rid of him to keep Ronaldo happy or something. So
it was actually in my stickies, in my sticky notes, okay, to bring up that 6 years ago on this day, Ronaldo scored an absolute, just against Buffon, overhead kick in the Champions League, and the reception of the Juve fans that followed. Truly, like I mentioned before, it's an L that Juve turned into a W. It's weird because it's a goal against us, but it's so important to us as well as fans, yeah, right?
For sure.
It's one of those goals that, like, I watched it in real time, like, I was like, dude, that was like, that's a once in a lifetime type,
yeah,
thing I just witnessed. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, it hurt. Upset about it. Like, that was just, that's like watching somebody hit like a 45-foot three-pointer, like, mm-hmm, like as the clock winds down. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, it's from the logo.
The odds are so low of that goal, but he hits it so it's just, well, DeCilio didn't cover himself in glory. I'm like, dude, come on. Like, the dude times it to perfection. The ball just happens to, like, come to him. You know, everything, mm-hmm, had to line up so perfectly.
It's like, yeah, the reaction in the stadium was, I kind of felt that epitomized it, because sometimes you want to win and you want to be the best, but sometimes some kind of amazing thing happens and all you can do is just kind of, you're not even, like you say, you're not even mad, you're not angry, you're not pissed
off. You have to appreciate the greatness.
Yeah, you just stand up and applaud, yeah, and go, oh my God, that was beautiful. That was just for the love of the game and nothing, yeah, else. Yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, it's, yeah, like the same thing when, like when Real Madrid fans gave the standing ovation to Del Piero's performance, you know.
Yeah,
right. Yeah.
It's like one of those things where it's like you watch something so special.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I'm so glad I got to see it.
Yeah. If the story of that goal comes up on Instagram or YouTube or whatever, I always finish it. I always love to see Ronaldo's reaction. I've never seen him so humble. You know, Ronaldo's known for his bravado and but him putting his hand on his heart and just, you know, nodding to the fans. It's, it's special. It's special. Juve fans know great game. So. It was a great thing to see. And one last thing I want to mention, one last minute goal. One of my personal favorites. It's Osvaldo, Dani Osvaldo's 94th minute winner against Roma in 2014. Speaking of daggers, talking of, you know, putting a dagger in your former team and the way he celebrates. If I was a Roma fan, I'd be so upset. I'd be so pissed that he celebrated so hard. But that gave us the record breaking 102 point season, right? Was, yeah, that was that year, right?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah. All right. Well, boys and girls, I hope you enjoyed this little trip down a memory lane. There will be more of these coming up, but let's get to business now, shall we? Zachy, what you got for us, buddy?
Yo, so just wanted to, like, kind of briefly touch on the international break. Typically, I use the international break unless there's, like, something really critical happening, to sort of step away from football for a second, just because I definitely prioritize club football versus international football, unless it's, like, a Euro or obviously the World Cup or, like, a tournament of significant stature. Mm-hmm. But I did tune in to the CONCACAF Nations League, just to watch, because I just wanted to keep an eye on the American boys, just to see how they do. Their first game was utter rubbish. It was against Jamaica, and they looked so far off it. It was so bad. Not just McKennie and Weah, the whole team, the entire team was just, and, like, they got so lucky that they were able to pull an own goal in, like, the 94th minute of, you know, of the game, and then, you know, eventually take it and win 3-1. But, like, they didn't cover themselves in glory. However, their performance against Mexico, was dominating. Weah was a bit more quiet but effective, but McKennie just bossed the midfield.
2-0, baby.
Yeah, including taking a fucking 2-foot sliding challenge from Edson Álvarez and just walking it off, like getting up and walking it off. Like, Now I already know, like, see, now this is perhaps me being a little jaded, but like culturally, like I know, like in South America, whoever gets tackled like that rolls a thousand mm-hmm. times, right?
Mm-hmm.
McKennie
Neymar.
I mean he gets clattered, like, and he just, you know, he's like, ah, you know, he pulls a hole like Peter Griffin, ah, you know, and kind of rubs it, and yeah, and then just gets up and goes on about it. And it was dominating. I mean, and you know, just really briefly, Mexico are in some serious dire straits. I don't know how they got to figure some shit out, because they are, the way that the U.S. has eclipsed Mexico in what I feel like is a relatively quick wit, like turnaround time, where it was like we're almost mm-hmm. there, and then all of a sudden it's like now we're like miles ahead of them. It's like, what happened? But McKennie performed very well. I think he got man of the match that game, even though he didn't score. Believe he got an assist. I could be wrong on that one. But yeah, it's just good to check in on those guys, and they get it done for three CONCACAF Nations League titles in a row, which is, you know, it's the U.S. It's the U.S. giving themselves a trophy.
But it's pretty crazy how, I mean, I'm here for McKennie's best season ever. I'm here for it from game one. You know, coming back from what seemed like a disgraceful exit to Leeds. What, I even forget where he played with Leeds, right?
Yeah.
And coming back and just balling. I truly believe it's all the positive messages I sent to him on Instagram. And by the way, he just liked one of our messages again.
Dope. Nah, man.
The day he followed us on Instagram was a turnaround for him, I truly believe.
I mean, I've been saying it for years. Wes has the talent. I think he was kind of maybe going through a rough patch personally. Just, you know what I mean? Like, and sometimes it's how a player responds to such pressure. And dude, he's responded in the best way. Like, it's all, I'm very thrilled with the season that he's had. And it makes me really happy for him, like truly.
Yeah, for sure. Not so much Vea, right? It's a Rob. What are you hearing in the rumor mill over there? It's probably more him leaving than staying. Is that correct?
The weird thing is, there hasn't been that much talk about him other than just the disappointment. I think that's literally all that,
like,
all
my life.
Welcome to my world. There just hasn't been much of, like, you know, he's going to be linked with this club or that club. I think he'll probably stay, and I think, you know, this is a whole other discussion, but maybe if we get a different coach, then maybe he changes position, or there's some different tactical setup and they give him another go for another year, because I think they've invested too much in him to sort of write him off after one season. But I can't see him leaving this summer, and there's been no real talk about it either. I think if Juve are going to sell anyone, I think there's other players that are likely to leave. Yeah.
And I really don't want to give... Oh, no, go ahead, Marfar.
No. I had nothing to say. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I really don't want to see him leave yet, because I've been watching Weah for a long time now. Mm-hmm. I watched him at Celtic, and then I would actually occasionally, like, tune in to the French league to watch him at Lille. And I never
dedication.
I think he has, there's a level of talent there, that there's a potential there that he hasn't reached yet. And I see it, and I know it's there. And I feel like, you know, obviously he got transitioned into a wingback role, and yeah, he did okay. Like, he did well actually in that role, in the French league, but the Italian league's different, a different level. And I don't think he really does best in a wingback role. He's much more naturally an offensive winger player. And I think he deserves a shot at that. Where were we?
We're on Vea. Sorry, we're just working on some technical issues.
Yeah, but no,
yeah,
just basically,
Vea, you're not giving up on him yet. Is that what you're
saying? No. I think he has plenty more to offer. Again, I really don't think.
No, now we can't hear you at all, buddy.
What?
Yeah, you cut out. That's weird.
What's a Turin Giants podcast without some technical fuckery going on, huh? Am I right?
It's tradition. It's all good.
Yeah,
nah, I can't hear you, but it's like
now.
Yeah,
it's like a faulty wire or something.
Yeah, like
Kitty, hold on. This.
All right. But speaking of Zaki, the funniest thing was when we pulled up this chat that we're on. Of course, you're not seeing the video version of this, but when he saw Rav's face, the face reveal that truly shocked him. Because I mean, Rav for Rav to stay anonymous after being in the Juve community for 20 years is pretty hilarious. And I haven't seen you in a while either. You just fixed this camera, so a little beard going on, put on a little healthy weight. Good for you, buddy.
Oh, thanks, man. You're flattering me. I'm going red. Seriously.
No, you're good, man. Should we touch on the game against Lazio, the one that we lost, the shocking loss or the shocking win? Should we? I think we should concentrate on the shocking win from yesterday. But just to mention the loss against Lazio. I mean,
so bad.
It was so bad. I'm looking at the ratings, and the highest was Rabiot with 7.0.
What?
And then everyone is. I mean, Cambiaso 6.7, Miretti 6.6. Miretti, I feel like it's one of those guys who's going to go to a mid-table team and develop a little more there. I just don't see the sparks anymore. And I, you know, Keane got 6.6, Chiesa with a dismal 6.0, and I'm looking at Fat Mob. So maybe you guys are using different.
I would have given much lower. Sorry.
Much lower.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, sorry not to cut in, but I didn't.
No. Please do.
I was gonna say I watched that game really closely, and I didn't watch yesterday's game as closely because it wasn't easy to like broadcast over here, and I couldn't find it. But that game, I watched it from beginning to end. I was really trying to pay attention to it, not just because of the Juve angle, but I'm a big fan of Igor Tudor, and I've sort of watched him coach at various other teams and his approach. Mm-hmm. And it was so bad. It's like so much of this season where we're terrified of going forward. We're content because if we sit back and we can come away with a point, that would be fantastic, because we need to make top four. So it's more about getting that point than losing all three, you know, like the mentality and just sitting deep, and it's just no creativity.
Well, let's talk about Allegri. Let's talk. You brought up the tactics.
Yeah,
I truly believe in today's game, a coach and manager needs to be much more than just a tactician. You know, you need to be so much more to those players. And the reason you're not getting so much out of those players that we have now, who are seemingly talented, you know, when we sign players, everyone's excited because we know what they're capable of. But as soon as they enter the locker room in a, you know, hypothetical sense, it's like their souls are sucked out. It's guys who are great on the ball all of a sudden pass the ball back. It's like nobody wants to take charge. It's like we don't have that one player that you're excited to see, that one player that takes the ball and people cheer.
Yeah.
So
100%.
So we need to dedicate a couple of minutes to Allegri, if you like. Any thoughts on him? Rav, let's play an angle of you just got news from Fabrizio Romano a couple hours, and you posted. By the way, shout out your Twitter page so people can follow if they don't follow already.
if they want to follow it, it's Juve. What is it? Juve News Live, something like that. It's
At Juve News Live. That's Rav's page dedicated to Juventus. On his website, Foot Italia, there's news about every Italian team, which is pretty fascinating and a great layout. I always mention that the website looks nice and clean. Thanks, and easy man. To use. Zachy, what's your Twitter account? Because you tweeted for us on the at Juve podcast on Twitter yesterday. I really appreciate it. And shout outs to Kevin, our man in Turin, who was at the game yesterday, was posting great live shots and reels and stuff like that. And people are noticing and people are truly enjoying the kind of the experience that we're bringing straight from the stadium. So shout outs to Kevin and yes, Raf, sorry.
I was talking about
what a shot.
We're talking about the tactics with Allegri. And I think we're kind of getting to that point of the season where he looks like he is kind of terrified at the prospect of dropping points, because top four, not making top four is it's not disastrous, but it would be a big issue for us. So I feel like he's trying to be more cautious. He's looking at the fixtures that we've got coming up, and he's trying to play more conservatively if that's possible, because he's been pretty conservative all season. I don't think it's all on him. I know that everyone wants to have a scapegoat. And when it's Juve, there is always one scapegoat. It's never, oh, it's all of us together. It's always, right, this is the person, chop that person's head off, let's bring someone else in. Yeah. I mean, that midfield is not good enough. I don't know if another coach would get much more out of Rabiot, Locatelli, and, you know, Miretti or whoever else. McKennie has been decent. I think Rabiot has dropped off in a big way. Locatelli can play a great game, two average games, three or four bad games, and then another good game. He's just not consistent enough. And that is the link. That's the link between the defense and the attack. The attack don't get enough service. Sometimes, you know, Keane the other day playing against Lazio was just running and trying to create something, and there's just nothing coming from the midfield. The defense are frustrated. The midfield was anonymous. We constantly lose the midfield battle against teams that we shouldn't be losing the midfield battle against. And once that's gone, it's like, what else are you going to do? What other tactics do you have? Okay, we'll play it wide and we'll just cross it in. We'll bring on Illing Jr., mm-hmm. have him run down the left and have him just keep firing in crosses until something hits. And sometimes that works. But we need a change. It's that simple. I've really been kind of... like when we had that good run under Allegri, I was like, maybe it's more, you know, like maybe it's not as bad as I'm making out. But I think we just needed someone different in that locker room, someone younger, someone with different ideas, someone that is prepared to kind of throw caution to the wind a little bit more, be a bit more adventurous. I think, yeah, that Lazio, the first Lazio defeat was partly on the players, but I think it was also a lot on Allegri as well. I don't know if Zachy agrees with me or...
Oh, completely. I'd say you said everything that needed to be said, my friend. It was... no,
thanks.
It was... Yeah, no.
God.
At one point...
Cutting out a bit there.
All right, let's try this. Go now.
Good.
That's cool. Yeah, that's cool. Good.
So at one point, I'm sitting there and I'm like, I think I'm going to nod off. I think I might fall asleep if I continue to watch this game. Lo and behold, I tweeted it. Lo and behold, I did. I added a I'm like, dude. Like,
oh, wow.
This is bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's Allegri is the heroine of tactics. Allegri will have you nodding. Nodding off. It's it's pretty. I mean, there's not much to mention as far as the game, except I mean, really. it would not have been that disastrous if it was a 0-0. But conceding a goal in 93rd minute as Juve, it's speaking of last minute goals. Maybe this will be one of the greatest Lazio last minute goals right against Juve. So let's mention the current Juventus form. 2-1 loss against Napoli, 2-2 draw against Atalanta, Genoa 0-0, again 0-0, come on. 1-0 loss against Lazio, and then finally 2-0 win. And you know, it's so funny, Juventus's media team, social media team, for several weeks, they had nothing to work with. I mean, it's just, they're posting something, and all the comments are like, why are you even doing this? Just why are you so happy about it? But you know, it's their job. And finally, with yesterday's win, Juventus social media, finally, they're just on their knees praying, thanking God that they have some something to post, especially, you know, Chiesa with the Chiesa goal that kind of ended his drought. And we're so happy for him. That was a great goal. Cambiasso, I mean, that pass. Come on. Am I right? There's nothing I love more from a midfielder is a pass that cuts out the entire team. That was beautiful from our own half to give that little nugget of a pass. Chiesa had no right to miss that, and he didn't.
If he had, I would be saying, I can't.
He's leaving. He's leaving. What are you, Rob? Again, we're gonna sprinkle in a few rumors here and there, since you are our Fabrizio Romano. I'm sorry. What do you?
So much pressure.
You're the more handsome Fabrizio. what do you hear about Chiesa's potential departure, or is it too early to talk about that? I will quote you.
Go for it, man. It doesn't. It doesn't seem to be as bad as we were making out. Because the latest stuff in Italy, or the stuff that seems to be coming out in, you know, like Tutto Sport and Gazzetta and places like that, is that that they want to renew his contract. That is something that they want to do. And I think more than likely, so much of that is going to be linked to what happens with Allegri. I don't think we're probably not going to hear much about it, like front of house. But I think there was kind of a similar situation with Dybala all those years back when Allegri left the first time, because, you know, like, he was getting frustrated about where he was playing and how he was being used. And I get the feeling that maybe, I don't know, maybe there might be a little bit of something. And that's just me speculating. But yeah, at the moment, there's no talk of him being sold. There's no...
Beautiful.
Yeah, there's no real offers. There's no clubs being linked. It just looks like if they're going to make money, they're going to make it elsewhere. So fingers crossed.
Players going through tough times is always going to happen, but letting go of such a gem that, you know, top clubs in Europe are after is just a silly decision. Chiesa, to me, when on top of his game, is the best player on Juve. I'm sorry, Vlahovic is great and all, but Chiesa, with his ability to snatch balls and run with it, and his grinta is I'm here for it. Letting him go prematurely, just so silly. And if that's, again, quote unquote, Allegri's fault, then I'll be really mad, because we can have a whole episode on Allegri himself. Isn't it funny how the most polarizing figure, and I posted something on Instagram, and this guy went after me. He's like, you as an admin of a major Juventus Instagram page, you're not allowed to blah blah blah. I was like, dude, have you seen our form? Like, am I the bad guy here? Or is that what am I doing? What am I saying? Oh, you know how that happened. Thanks, Kevin. Kevin walking out of the stadium, and he posted maybe like a minute clip, and everyone's frustrated. I think we lost. I don't remember which game that was. I'm pretty sure we lost at home. And he went after me, thinking I'm Kevin, but which is fine. There's a couple of people running the Turin Giants Instagram page. And I was like, are you still seriously giving me four paragraphs of defending Allegri? At this point, how can you? And you know, like I said, we can dedicate a whole episode to Allegri, invite two people who are for him, two people who are against him, and just let him duke it out. That's a great idea, by the way.
That's a really good idea.
Not a bad idea. But yeah, do you guys want to talk about the Lazio game yesterday? We've kind of been touching on it, but if you want to get into the weeds a little bit, Chiesa, 50th minute goal. First half was just a bore. Snooze. Couldn't. There's so many. I mean, somebody posted a picture of Homer Simpson falling asleep at a table with a Juve hat on. But then they come out guns blazing first, second half. I don't know what Allegri told him in halftime. Let's talk about the second half. What did you guys think?
I literally was shouting into the void on our Twitter, like, play it direct, go forward. And the minute we did, things got good. Like the minute we were able to take, like, start to pull them out of shape, whole gaps opened up and we took advantage of the gaps. And we weren't trying to just play the same old long ball over the top or trying to strike it from 30 yards out or whatever. Like, I see you, Danilo, in your 30-yard attempted curling screamer. But no, it was one of those things where the minute that we actually started to put the pressure back on them, things opened up for us. And we were moving and making good one-touch passes and playing off of one another and actually controlled the second half. And the efforts yielded results in a way that I'm like, dude, have we not, like, we've been shouting at the moon for the last several weeks that this is what we need to do, instead of like Rav was saying earlier, where we're just, oh yeah, well, what do we do? Oh, our first plan of attack isn't working. Well, dump it out to the side and put a cross in and see what happens. It's like,
I feel like Juve's style is so funny to me. It's a mix between overcomplicating something and just simplifying the game. And I say that because there's a quote from Allegri that I want to read. When I say that football is simple, I truly mean it. I don't know what that means. It's one of those Allegriisms, but if you believe it's simple, then play it simply. Go forward. You cannot win a game if you pass the ball backwards or diagonally parallel. It's just the inability to go forward, and there's a huge hole in the middle. Allegri, take your own advice. And here's another quote from Chiesa. So he's addressing, of course, the big storyline yesterday during the game was jeers and whistles and boos against the players. I'm going to go around the room and kind of get your guys' opinion on booing your own players. But Chiesa said, when you're at Juventus, you play to win the title. That's what fans demand. The criticism is fair. So, again, Chiesa proves that he's wise beyond his years, taking the criticism. Maybe that's the reason he scored. Maybe that was a push that he needed. What do you guys think about the whole situation at the stadium? Sold out crowd. There's great support from the curva, but at the same time, when fans are not happy, they boo the players, and a lot of old school Juve fans are not happy about it. What are you guys' thoughts about that?
I agree with. Oh, thanks, buddy. I was going to say I understand why they're doing it. I don't agree with it. I don't think you should boo your players. I understand because we're in different parts of the world. We use places like Twitter or Reddit or Facebook or whatever to vent our frustrations and talk and all that kind of stuff and all those stupid hashtags and stuff. But if you're at the stadium, I don't think booing does any good. It just, I don't understand the psychological kind of impact. I know some people say, oh, I can, turn them around and, sort of make them angry or get them motivated. I don't think it works that way. I think, especially at a team like Juve, I think you need to support the players through the tough times because we've had so many good times. You know, it's easy to cheer and celebrate and be there for the Scudetto, when we win. But when we're in those really tough moments when we're finishing seventh and when the football is dreadful, that's when they need us most. That's when they need to know that people are behind them, that people support them. And I know
it'd be kind of weird to boo your own players. Like I'd be kind of.
It's strange. It's such embarrassed a strange to do thing that. To me. Yeah.
Yeah.
If you support the team, support them. That's what we are. We're supporters. We're there to lift them up in the good times and the bad times. We're not there to like get on their back when, we're having a season like this. I just don't understand the mentality. Like I said, I get why people do it. I do not agree with it at all. So
I don't know. Zach looks like a guy who would boo his own team. Am I right?
Whoa!
Not look like that.
You were kind of quiet there for a minute. I don't know, man.
I wanted to start a little. I was listening. No. I really don't. I'm a positive feedback kind of guy, not a negative one. I may curse under my breath and say, man, this is rubbish or whatever, but like, I'm not gonna boo the players actively, like, because I'm sure they know that it's like unacceptable. You know what I mean? They don't need, like,
yeah,
they can hear just from the anxiety in the audience and the restlessness of the audience that what they're doing is unacceptable. They don't need me booing at them.
Completely.
You know what I mean? Yeah. I might boo Allegri into the ground, but and again, yeah, you know, but, and that's just me being kind of facetious, but like, no, I don't, it's never really worked for me. I don't really like that idea. I won't do it with any team that I really support.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
What team?
You mentioned Allegri again. I go back to Allegri. I've never seen a more polarizing figure play or coach Juve. And maybe he's a product of the new social media Juve. He's the first. I mean, Conte was kind of, what was Conte's last year? 14? When yeah. Twitter was kind of big, Instagram was just getting started. But I feel like the hashtags and all of the negative instant feedback really got to Allegri. He got rid of all his social media. He used to have a social media accounts, right?
He did. He had a Twitter account. He would tweet after games. And I think that the big
imagine that now.
I he would have had it locked down. He would have had it, you know, like a padlock and like following two people, and that's it.
I imagine Allegri, it's like that gif of Ron Swanson throwing away the whole computer into the dumpster. That's exactly. That was literally Allegri.
I think that the problem with Allegri is that this is going to sound really backwards thinking, but I think he is almost like too detached from the game sometimes. Like he always talks about, like, I know this season in particular, there have been times when interviewers have got under his skin and he kind of snaps and he shouts at them and blah. It's happened a couple of times. That's it. Because he is so mentally equipped to step away from football. He appreciates art. He appreciates horse racing. He has all these other sort of passions and he can step away from it. And he could always do that. And I don't think that's what we need now. We needed that in the years after Conte had laid the foundation and built us back up. We needed someone who could, like, once we're already up into fifth gear, who can just kind of steer and keep us going. And no disrespect to Allegri, he did a fantastic job. But what we need now is someone who's kind of almost like 24/7 just there talking about it, saying,
yeah, kind of an obsessive.
We're gonna do that. Exactly. That's it. Zaki took the words out of my mouth. Exactly that. We need an obsessive kind of guy, like a kind of a, not a Conte, but someone like Conte who is 21st century, a bit more forward thinking. Mm-hmm. Someone like Thiago Motta, who I keep going on about.
Oh, perfect, yeah. Perfect segue, my friend. you run a major, I would say top three websites in the world, footitalia.com. So it's a must that we have a little news roundup for you. So let's get into that.
Well, I will preface this.
Rob's news roundup.
I will preface this just by saying there is so little actual news. Like, it's just all crap at the moment. It's like, you mm-hmm. know, Juve lose and every newspaper is saying Allegri is going to leave and Juve going to sack him. But the kind of bits that I picked out was that both Sport Italia and Gazzetta dello Sport reported that Thiago Motta is like a serious option for Juve, that they are really giving it serious consideration. And I always kind of try and keep a track of this because as more and more newspapers start following that same kind of news headline is when it means that something is happening. So we've got mm-hmm. two pretty big ones saying that Juve is giving it serious consideration. So mm-hmm. that is something I know a lot of people are hoping will happen, but just keep an eye on it. As more and more newspapers start talking and, you know, that there could be something there. Fabrizio Romano said on his podcast today that he doesn't think that Allegri is going to stay in charge. He really thinks that Allegri is going to leave come summer. So,
Fabrizio Schwabrizio, give me the percentages that our favorite friend.
Here we go. This is the
give me the actual the give me the actual journalist I can trust.
The percentage is amazing.
Okay, wow, so Monblano, the man, he says that Max Allegri at Juventus is 0.88% likely to remain, which is it's beautiful. It's bellissimo. So he's been tweeting. Well, he's been on. And he keeps percentage is just getting lower and lower.
He's gonna go into minuses soon.
Well, I'm waiting for the one to pay attention to is when he gets to 0.01, because that's the last time Allegri left was when he said 0.01. So that is something to keep an eye on. Other than that, sort of in terms of news, sort of actual real news, I think Zaki was going to touch on it, but Kony De Winter, who is currently on loan at Genoa, is, I think if he plays one more game, that they have to sign him outright. So he's going to leave. He was a kind of a promising youngster, but again, someone that we're probably going to cash in on. So it's, you know, it's no bad business for us.
If whoever signs De Winter, if they're tagline is not "the winter is coming."
Is coming.
I don't know what's wrong with them. Is that too on the nose? Is that
I love it.
But it should be because it works so well.
It's the picture of the Game of Thrones guy with the winter's exactly. face on it with the sword, right?
Yeah, exactly.
That's exactly it. And the only other thing to pick up, which I think a lot of people probably saw yesterday, is that one of the directors at Juve, Giovanni Manna, is probably going to head over to Napoli. And there's some people from Napoli who are probably going to come to Juve. And there's also a sporting director at Pisa who I think is coming to Juve. I haven't had time to kind of look at these guys in too much detail or look at their track records, but that is likely to happen in the coming weeks in the run-up to summer. So that is something that's going to happen in the background that may have an impact on some things. We'll wait and see. But that is pretty much it. There is very little actual real Juve news at the moment other than top four and what happens to Allegri. So
right. Yeah. This has been Rav's News Roundup. I need to come up with some.
we need a sick drop for that.
By the way, it's once a podcast I like to mention. If you want to be a part of this podcast, part of our Turin Giants little family of misfits here, please join us. If you make little media clips or something like that, if you want to be somehow associated with us, please get in touch with me. If you don't have a plan of hijacking my account and squatting on it, please do. We don't fuck with that here, but yeah. Thank you, Rav. What else do we got here on the menu here? We mentioned that. Let's while you guys think of something else to talk about, let's bring up let me just mention the refresh our memory on the standings in Serie A. I mean, pretty much it's a decided title for Inter, sadly. 79 points. We are closely watching their unbeaten record, which is damn, I wish I had that handy. But they're basically three games away from beating Juve's record, which is a record around Europe. Like Juventus are the record holders in the history of Juve in the history of European leagues with 43 games unbeaten. That's Juve's record. I believe Inter has either 39 or 40 by now. Juventus didn't lose a single game from May 2011 until May 2012. And I think Inter beat us, right? They broke our...
Yeah, they ended the run.
Yeah, I think it was a 2-1. Yeah, I don't know if we're playing them. I doubt that we're going to play them, but it would be quite poetic if we beat their unbeaten run. But you know, all the hate aside, you can't deny they're head above everyone else in Italy right now. They're, like I said, 79 points, sitting in first place. AC Milan leapfrogged us with 65 points. If we hold on to third place, we have 59 points, 6 points away from Inter. From Milan. I apologize.
Inter's about to beat our unbeaten run.
They have three games before they, I believe, tie us, and then yeah.
That's weird. Well, because they lost on the 27th of September.
Was that in the league, or was that?
Was that the cup? That might.
Yeah,
have
been it could have been. I don't know. I'm
actually no, because they were knocked out by Frosinone in the cup.
Okay, hang on. Let's have a look. I think their unbeaten run in Serie A goes back to 27th. So the last time they lost was the 27th of September in Serie A. And that was against Sassuolo. But they have gone unbeaten since the 30th of September, 2023 in the league. So I don't know where that puts them against Juve in terms of like consecutive games beaten or unbeaten or rather. But
yeah, right.
Yeah,
well-oiled machine, this podcast, but. It's sometimes you come up with stats that you don't really have prepared, but yeah, I mean nothing changes. We're just waiting for them to lose. Doesn't matter how many games they've won in the Inter. It's a default for us to want them to lose. But if somebody told you who would be occupying spot number four a year ago, would you have guessed that it would be Bologna in number four spot and then Roma in spot number five, Atalanta in sixth place? You guys been following Bologna? And
closely.
Mm-hmm. Well, talk to me. Thiago Motta, would you be excited if he was our next coach?
Absolutely.
Nice.
So 100%.
What do you guys distinguish as his what would be his I don't know how to explain that.
his signature style?
Yeah. Yes, thank you. I'm an immigrant. English not my first language. But yeah, what would you guys say that he possesses that we need right now?
Ideas. Good ideas. I'm kidding. Go ahead, Rob.
I was going to say, that's pretty much it. Good ideas. But I think he wants to have possession. He wants to have the ball. He wants to win the ball back quickly when the team.
That's crazy.
Nice, simple things. Really simple things. It's not difficult. He likes to play a good passing game, a quick passing game. He likes the whole team to work together. It's not about the strikers, the midfield, or the mm-hmm. defense. It's like the whole thing works as one unit. He likes players that are interchangeable. He has, for lack of a better word, he has grinta, the old school grinta. He likes he's passionate. He has fire. He is someone who has ideas. He is not wedded to one particular playing style. He can adapt. He can evolve. He's like Conte, but like a 21st century modern version of Conte, who knows that the old 3-5-2 is not going to work anymore. So he needs to think outside the box. I'm so impressed with what he's done on the budget that he's got, with the players that he's got. He has done exactly what Conte did in 2011, which is take a ragtag bunch of players and turn them into a really strong, well-oiled machine, like Zaki said. Mm-hmm. Exactly what Conte did. He could do the same thing at Juve, I think, with the team that we have, because you know they need something. They need something different. They need a spark.
Well, let's mention their next five games in Serie A. I mean, obviously, we're watching whoever's under beneath us in the table. They have 57 points to our 59. It's only 2 points, and then Roma in fifth. Roma are 7 points away from us. But anyways, Bologna have Frosinone, Monza, Roma, which will be super important for us. We'll be cheering for Roma, obviously, then, or maybe for a tie. But then April 28th, Bologna is hosting Udinese. and May 5th, the famous date in U.S. history, they will be playing against Torino in Turin. So not too difficult. We have to watch this. Who knew? I mean, I guess people knew that we'd be fighting for that top four spot. And isn't it crazy how the words of a manager and the kind of talking this into existence really means a lot, because that's what Allegri has been preaching the whole season, right? Top four finish. I feel like if you predict that, you are
kind of, you know,
it's like you're predicting the doom, and now we're not even fighting for spot number two. Everyone knew Inter was very strong, and probably we wouldn't win the Scudetto, even though there was glimpses of hope in the beginning of the season, but kind of beginning and middle of the season, we were kind of hoping and praying and wishing for the Scudetto win, but obviously that's not going to happen. But it just, I guess, words of a manager really matter, right?
Sorry, Zach, you go ahead.
What I was going to say was essentially is that, like, I didn't know how Inter was going to do, because they lost a lot of pieces from their title, from their team that went all the way to the Champions League. Like, how do you respond to losing those pieces, right? Mm-hmm. And they recruited well, I mean, you can say, right? Mm-hmm. And the ideas have been good to the point where, like, the players have belief, right? And they go out and they execute, and they understand what their game is, and they understand how to do it well. I did not know. I could not have predicted necessarily that he would have that the pieces he would be bringing in would essentially do better or exceed what was going on prior to this. So in a way, I'm almost genuinely surprised at this Inter team, and maybe that's just my hubris and my blind spot as me being a Juve fan. But I mean, genuinely, there were questions that I had with regard to the personnel that were coming in and versus who was outgoing. And also, it's so hard after you grind and really put in all that effort to try and win a Champions League, and then to go back and get back to club football and just grind it out and dominate the way they have. It's really difficult to do. People tend to forget that, but it's really difficult to do. So
in your eyes, you know, all bias aside, who's a better coach, Inzaghi or Allegri, Rav?
Allegri. Okay. I still think, I know, you know, with everything that's happened, people are going to say, you're too blinded by Juve love. I think Inzaghi is fantastic. I think he's forward thinking, and he's, like Zachy said, I think he's done a great job with the pieces that he's been given, and he's playing really good football. I think Allegri has still won more in Serie A, and he's just, you know, he's got more trophies to show for it. That's not to say it would still be the case like 2 to 3 seasons from now, but I think the other thing you got to think about is how badly Napoli have done in terms of defending the title. Like, it seems their entire, you know, like everything about them was just tied into Spalletti. And as soon as he left, I know they lost Kim as well, but they kept a lot of key players, and they haven't been able to get the same out of their players. So that tells you a lot about how much of a role a coach has in terms of instilling a mentality, in terms of getting the best out of those players. Someone else has come in with effectively the same squad, and they're what, like 10th or something like that? So, you know, what does that tell you about coaching and how important a coach is in terms of
Napoli playing? Is now in position number 8. Yeah,
there you go.
Crazy. Yeah. They're not even making Champions Leagues for next season, right?
No way. No chance.
Yeah, I mean, we're nearing the end of the podcast, boys. You guys rock. It's always such a pleasure to record with you boys, and we'll come back with more regular episodes. We're kind of hitting the stride there, and international break came up, and yeah, I feel like we've covered everything except for happy birthday to Adrien Rabiot, like the commentator yesterday kept saying with a French accent. Born in 1995, and he's aged 29 years old. Anything you guys want to talk about Rabiot's achievements? I feel like he's been one of the top five players for Juve last few seasons. Player who a lot of people say without him, we would not even be in this position, right? He's a...
I don't know.
He can... No? You're not down with Rabiot?
I was down with him when he had a year left on his contract and he needed to play well to get to to get to Manchester United, which is what he was going to do, and that was his goal.
Yep.
So he played out of his skin, and Manchester United were like, oh, yeah, well, we can pick him up for nothing. And then his mama said, look, pay him 10 million euros a season. And they were like, nah, screw that. And then he stayed at Juve, and I don't know. He's... I don't really know what he does. I really don't know.
We'll love him regardless, right? We're not going to...
I'm not going to slander. No, I'm not going to cuss him out like that. He's the Duke of Turin. I wish...
The Duke of Turin. So in 2023-24 seasons, he's played 24 games, scored 4 goals, 2 games in Coppa Italia, 0 goals in Europa League, 2022-23. Strange stats over here. But anyways, I mean, in the company of mediocre performances, he's been a standout. Can't deny that. Am I right?
He's been consistent. I'll give exactly. him that. You know.
Yeah.
But he also frustrates the absolute piss out of me.
Why is that?
I never quite know exactly. Damn it. I never quite know exactly what he's trying to achieve. Like, sometimes I feel like his play is so, like, I don't know.
You're literally describing every Juve player. Come on.
Well, no, yeah, okay. But, like, I feel like he doesn't even know exactly what he's going to do with the ball at any given point. Like, I don't even know he knows what his intentions are. Like,
it's
I don't know.
It's in his face.
I don't know. He is a... What do they call him, right? They call him.
We didn't hear you. What would you say?
They call him
Crazy Horse.
He's a crazy horse in that. He's just running all over the place and kicking shit, and I don't know exactly what he's doing. but he works hard. I mean, sometimes but like he like runs in a way that I'm like, yeah, yeah. But then
he's
again,
got
maybe
crazy
like
strides,
me.
Doesn't he?
Yeah, well, maybe it's just like me where it's like, bro, do you are you even working hard? Like, you don't sweat. And it's just like, bro, I swear I'm working hard, okay? Like, you know? But I don't know. He has his moments. He has his days where he seems like he wants to play football. And then he has his days where he just seems kind of like lackadaisical and aloof. And he's like, can't string anything together. And I'm just like, I don't know.
First use of aloof on the Turin Giants podcast. I like that.
Nice.
Call me Zach's vocabulary.
He is just that guy, though. He's exactly what Zach said. He's like, he consistently like a 6 out of 10, occasionally a 7.5 or an 8. But
yeah, exactly.
You know, that's about it. He's not Arturo Vidal, you know, like where he's going to score 12.
He's certainly
goals
not no 10 million a season.
Yeah, exactly.
Jesus,
yeah, seriously.
He's mediocre. And he's kind of like he's like the emblem of everything that is working for Juve at the moment, but also everything that is wrong with Juve, like the mediocrity that we've kind of gone, oh yeah, that's okay, yeah, yeah, that's. Yeah. I'm like, yeah,
Mr. Double-edged sword.
Yeah, that's it, exactly.
I'm going through just like last minute things that I want to mention. Rav on his Twitter account at Juve News Live, I just noticed that you posted the Ronaldo goal against Juve, the overhead kick, and said 6 years ago today. And you only got one bad comment, not a bad comment, but somebody said just delete. The rest of the comments are pretty positive. Just shows you that we what we were talking about, that, you know, for Juve fans, it's it's a weird goal. We're not mad, right? Like we're not.
I'm not mad, but like, I can imagine it's the war for some people.
I like to remember it because it for me it's like this is the moment that a lot of stuff changed, and I like to just kind of it's not good, it's not bad, it's just like okay, this is something to remember.
You think you're mad? DeCilio is forever posterized on that play. DeCilio will live in infamy for the rest of his life, and I'm pretty sure he's not mad about it. DeCilio is the type of player who's happy about being on a Ronaldo poster for the rest of his life, because his goal against Roma is the second thing he's best known for. Am I right? All right, boys and girls, I thank you so much for joining us. Hope you enjoyed this one. Zaki, Rav, you guys are the best. I love you guys so much. I wanted to leave the listeners with one last bit of business, and I'm going to play the promised audio of the famous Higuain dagger against Inter. Before we go, Rav, Zach, say your goodbyes, boys. I don't mean to cut you off like that.
Fino alla fine, baby.
Forza Juve.
Attraverso in mezzo, attenzione, come in testa la rete! Higuain! Higuain! Higuain!